Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. Hear now these words in the Gospel of Mark. John said to him, and it's John the disciple, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I feel like every week I stand up here and I talk about the lectionary and how I don't follow the lectionary so that I'm not picking the scriptures I want to preach on. It's for Sundays like this and next week, by the way. So when you hear me up here reading these scriptures, I just don't want you to think, "Oh, this is one of Peter's favorites. Let's go chopping our hands off, gouging our eyes out, cutting our feet off, start hopping around." Following the lectionary forces me to read scriptures like this. I don't want to read this. I don't want to preach about this. I don't know what to do with this. I don't feel like I have the gumption, the authority to read, "Jesus said, if your eye causes you to stumble, cut it out," and to stand up here and be like, "All right, listen, we're not going to literally follow what Jesus says here." Who am I? We're going to have to like do hard work of like trying to figure out what Jesus is really talking about. Does Jesus really want us to cut our hands off? Gouge our eyes out? Is there something else? Something deeper? I don't know. So we follow the lectionary so that we have to deal with some of these things. Have to figure them out. Struggle with them. Church isn't supposed to be this place where we come and leave with warm feelings, warm fuzzies every single week, where we come to hear somebody tell us what we want to hear. Sometimes we've got to read scriptures like this. Struggle with it. Deal with it. Figure out what we're trying to do with it. So let's try. I don't know if we'll actually figure anything out. Let's give it a shot. So this first, there's two parts to the scripture that we've read, just like there has been all throughout Mark. Mark does not mess around telling the story of Jesus' life. There's no fluff. There's no intermission. There's no downtime. Mark tells the story of Jesus going about his life and ministry, hitting all the key details, all the important things. There's no superfluous information. Bam, bam, bam. Mark has Jesus doing things one after the other, encountering people, teaching people, healing people, casting out demons, one right after the other. almost get tired thinking about Jesus running through his life and ministry in the Gospel of Mark, because very rarely does Mark have Jesus slowing down. It's one right after the other. And so this first part, this first section, John, one of the disciples, comes up to Jesus, and I just picture, like, this dude tattletaling to Jesus. That's what we said in Sunday school. He's tattling on this guy, trying to, you know when kids tattle, they're really trying to get, like, a pat on the back? Thank you for bringing this to my attention. You've done a good job, John. So John comes up to Jesus. Hey, teacher, we saw him casting out demons in your name, but he's not one of us. So we stopped him. Aren't we great? Aren't we wonderful? We're doing your work. We're doing the Lord's work, stopping people from using your name to cast out demons. We're so wonderful. Aren't you glad you brought us along, Jesus? I just imagine John just all puffed up. We did so good. Like your cat bringing you a dead animal. Like, look, I brought you this gift. And you're like, I don't want that. Get this thing out of here. That's Jesus' response. Here's John telling him, we've done this great thing. And Jesus is like, no. Don't stop them. You can't do a deed of power in my name in one breath and then in the next say something bad about me. Jesus says, if these people are using my name, using my power to do good, they're not harming anything. They're not hurting the cause. As long as they're not against us, they're for us. They don't have to be on our team. If they're doing the things that we are also striving to do, don't try to stop them. If any of you guys want to wear a Gator shirt next Saturday, I'm not going to stop you. You don't have to be a Gator. If you want to wear a Gator shirt next Saturday, that'll be all right. In fact, I encourage you all to do so. That would be great. As long as you're not against us, you're for us. What do we do with that? Because my problem is, I hear people that aren't a part of us saying things in Jesus' name that I don't agree with, that I don't think are what Jesus would want them saying. I hear people using their faith and using the name of Jesus and God to do things, to say things, to try to convince other people of things that I think would break Jesus' heart. People using the cross as they storm the Capitol. People using the name of Jesus as they picket outside funerals, those Westboro Baptist people, talking about God hates particular types of people. So I don't want to do what Jesus says. I don't want to just let those people who are speaking in Jesus' name, harming other people, to get away with it. I want to be like John and stop them. I don't want these people that are using the name of Christ to hurt other people. And in the scripture, it's different. Because this other man that John is trying to stop, he's not hurting someone, is he? He's casting out demons. He's doing God's work. He's helping to heal people. The man who had the demon cast out of them is now able to be a full person again. They're not hurt by this demon that is inside of them. This person who's cast out the demon has helped build up another person, has helped heal someone and to make them whole. So maybe that's where the distinction lies. If people are uplifting other people, if they're healing folks, if they're adding to the wholeness of our country, of our individuals, if we're doing positive things, that's the goal. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And whether they do it in Jesus' name or somebody else's name or nobody's name, as long as they're adding a positive spin, as long as they're building up and adding to healing, then let's not stop them. But anybody who's tearing down or causing harm or spewing hate, those folks need to be called out. That needs to be stopped. Even if they're doing it in Jesus' name, even if they're doing it in someone else's name, anyone's name, if you're talking hatred, if you're driving wedges between people and dividing people, if you're causing people to hurt, that needs to be called out and to be stopped. Even if they're claiming to do it in Jesus' name. And then the second part, again, let's just chop everything off. Sharpen our knives. Get a machete ready to go. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, let's stop there for two different definitions. The little ones, we're not talking again about the little children. We're talking about people who are new in their faith, struggling with their faith, trying to mature in their faith. And stumbling blocks, that's not a little. Have you ever stumbled in the store? Somewhere out in public, you look around and hope nobody saw you. That's not what we're talking about. That's a little thing. That doesn't matter. You stumble. Oh, you're good to go. Stumbling block. If anybody puts a stumbling block, if you put this thing in front of someone that prevents them from growing in their faith, that causes them to stop having faith, scandalizes them, that's what Jesus is talking about. I use the example in our email, you know, at the very least you can think about it if you get sick after going to a restaurant and you never want to go back there again. That's sort of like a stumbling block. Whether it's the restaurant's fault or not, maybe you just had the flu, ate somewhere, got sick, can't ever go to Red Robin again because I got sick. If any of you have lost a loved one, car accident or something. Hear stories about parents who have to find completely different ways to go to work because they've lost a child at a particular intersection. They can't go back to that place. That's a stumbling block. People that are assaulted, women who have been assaulted, not being able to go to a particular place. That's the depth that we're talking about with a stumbling block. If you are doing something that prevents someone from continuing in their faith, that's a stumbling block. For a long time, the church has been asking, why aren't people coming to church? Why can't we get people to be a part of our communities? And we come up with all sorts of different reasons that don't blame us. Do you remember when the blue laws went away? Back in my day, church was the only thing to do on a Sunday morning, Wednesday afternoon. Now these kids have soccer and movies and all sorts of stuff. That's the reason nobody comes to church anymore. They got other things to do. That takes the blame off of our shoulders and puts it somewhere else. When you start talking with young people that don't go to church anymore, you often hear stories about the trauma and the abuse that they had while at church. And I'm not talking about sexual abuse, and those stories are certainly out there. But I'm talking about kids that grew up in church, that sat in Sunday morning worship, Sunday schools, went to youth group, heard all these stories about Jesus loving the poor, uplifting the downcast, loving everyone. They heard those stories. They read those scriptures. And then they had a kid, a friend, come out as gay or bisexual. And they witnessed the church kick them out. They saw their parents get divorced. And they felt the pain and the trauma of that in their own household. And then they went to church and watched how the church chose sides and kicked one out, stopped letting them be leaders. You hear these stories over and over again. Good church people putting stumbling blocks that prevent people from wanting to be a part of Christ. Good church people that continue to divide and tear people apart, tear people down in the name of Jesus, in the name of faith. And they put these stumbling blocks in front of them. So maybe instead of reading this story as cutting our own hands off, cutting our own eyes out, our feet off, what if we cut off those beliefs that are themselves the stumbling blocks? What if we gouge out the words that are tearing people apart? What if we take a look at ourselves? Now listen, I know that these beliefs that we hold are an important part of who we are. Getting rid of them might feel like cutting our own hand off. We can hold these beliefs so deeply. But Christ is asking us, if they're causing other people to stumble, cut them out. Get rid of them. So to leave you, I give you this question. What might those things be? What are those things that we hold on to that need to be cut out? What are those things that we hold on to thinking that they're the important part of our faith that are preventing people from coming to and loving Christ? And what would it look like to cut them out? Hearing Jesus' words that it's better to enter the kingdom of heaven missing a part of what we thought was important than to be cast into the unquenchable fires. What would that look like? Amen.